much. All right, sir.
Okay.
Onward.
Thank you, Mayor. Carla, would you please read Council Item 259?
Approve innovation funding for 5 major and 5 micro proposals for fiscal year 2015-16.
Colleagues, this is an emergency ordinance, so at the request of the mayor, we're going to take the hearing today, but we're going to set over the vote till next week. Welcome.
Thank you for your innovative approach to that problem solving this morning. I'm Jane Brayton. I'm the Business Operations Manager in the Office of Management and Finance, and we are here today to ask your approval of an ordinance authorizing funding for 5 Innovation Fund major proposals and 5 micro proposals, totaling just over $470,000. Now in its third year, our second year in OMF, our City Innovation Fund continues to support innovative ideas with an emphasis on equity and opportunity and promoting a culture of innovation within the city. I know that your time ran a little long today, so we'll be a little brief because really the focus is we want to bring up our proposals at the end. We've received many comments from people that they enjoy that, and they may never have an opportunity to address council if it weren't for this. So I'm gonna waive some of our introductory remarks. We certainly want to thank the mayor and council for continuing to support this. We want to thank our review panel, who they give their time and expertise, and they ask a lot of tough questions when they go through this process. Community members Warren Chan and Stephanie Caballero were part of the review panel that's making the recommendation today, as well as city personnel Sam Hutchinson and Robert Walker. Our proposers work hard, and we have 4 of them here today to greet you. And they got the endorsement of the review panel because they found that their proposal promotes equity and opportunity, improves customer service, saves time or money for the city, partners, or community members, improves city services, and make things better. So we got 28 proposals from this round, and we narrowed it down to the 10 that we have today. I'm going to introduce Janet Storm from Business Operations. She served as the primary contact for our proposers and our review panel. She'll be introducing a couple of our proposers, and I'll be around for questions.
Good morning. My name is Janet Storm. I'm a management analyst with OMF Business Operations. I coordinate the proposal process. On January 7th, OMF Business Operations put out a call for major and micro grant ideas citywide. Interested employees submitted their proposals, and their proposals were then sent to bureau directors so that the bureau directors could look at the proposals from their own bureaus as well as identify cross-bureau partnership opportunities. We then forwarded the 28 proposals submitted by 8 bureaus to the Innovation Review Panel. The panel was asked to evaluate the proposals based on the following filters. Does it show strategic creativity? Do you think that the proposal is innovative? Is Innovation Fund the most logical funding source for this particular proposal? Do you believe that the proposed project could be achieved within the estimated budget provided? And does the proposed project advance equity? Does it save time or money? Does it provide opportunity? And is there a potential for greater benefits with broader applications? On February 23rd, the review panel met and through a facilitated discussion with proposers agreed upon the funding recommendations for the 10 project proposals you see before you today. We've invited 4 proposers to come up and share with you for a minute or two about their proposals. So first, I'd like to introduce Rhonda Fast from Bureau of Environmental Services, and Rhonda's proposal is the Crystal Springs Walking Tour.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. My name is Rhonda Fast. I'm an Environmental Program Coordinator at Environmental Services in the Watershed Services Group. I'm here to tell you very briefly about our micro grant proposal to develop a series of audio episodes, otherwise known as a podcast, to complement an existing walking tour along Crystal Springs Creek. And we're proposing this because the work at BES is rooted in science and engineering, and it can sometimes be difficult to communicate the benefits of our work. And we feel that adding podcasting potentially to our toolkit would benefit our customers, ratepayers, and our overall general audience of Portland. So we think it's also a tool that others may want to share as well, which is why we're bringing Portland Parks and Recreation as a partner along with this. To communicate about our projects and programs, BES and others, we develop fact sheets, static web pages. We also lead lots of tours and give lots of presentations. And these tools are all very, very useful, but we'd like to better utilize the technology that our audiences are using and also create more digestible and entertaining content to tell our story. We've researched a few examples that you'll see in the proposal handout across the country, one in Lexington, Kentucky, which is based on one in New York City. There's a couple of great examples out there of other cities doing this the same kind of thing. The episodes are about 3 minutes long. They vary, and they explore topics such as ecology, geology, gray and green stormwater infrastructure, habitat, and history, kind of all in one kind of compelling format. And there's no shortage of good topics to build a podcast on and telling the story of our investments in Crystal Springs Creek. Along the route, possible topics may include salmon recovery, climate change, nature play, native fish and wildlife, citizen science and stewardship. The list goes on, and we'd like to bring our Native American community members in on the partnership as well. And building on this existing walking tour is in a cost-effective option since the content is already there, the story is already there, and the expertise housed within the Crystal Springs Partnership is ready to go. So we plan on working with a consultant, PPNR, and Bureau of Technology Services and the partnership to bring all of this expertise together to tell a compelling story from multiple perspectives, not just our government perspective. And we feel that the project is unique in telling the Crystal Springs story, but the idea is to pave the way for others, for other bureaus and programs to more easily tell their stories, reaching new audiences and using the technology that our audience is using. Thank you.
By the way, your team has also produced a map, a fold-out map of potential walking tours around there, and I got to see it recently, and we're going to reorder some, and I'm going to hand them to my colleagues because I would like someday to have them be at every hotel room and at every place where visitors come because it's now become a destination to go watch the salmon spawn, the children play, and people cast into that lake. So good work.
Thank you.
Hopefully I don't mispronounce her name. Next is Virginia Krakowiak from Bureau of Emergency Communications, and Virginia's proposal is on-call community animal rescue.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen of the council, my name is Virginia Krakowiak. I'm a senior dispatcher for the Bureau of Emergency Communications. Over the past several years, there's been a lack of funding in regards to after-hours animal control services within Multnomah County. Between the hours of 1700 and 0800, if a citizen comes in contact with an injured or lost animal, 911 dispatchers must inform them that there are no services available to them. The animal usually suffers or is set loose in these incidents unless the citizen is willing to pay out of pocket for a third-party contractor. On some occasions, we will send out a police officer if the animal is creating a road hazard, but even in these occasions, police officers do not have the equipment or the time to properly care for the animal in need. Just in the last 2 weeks, we've had at least 12 911 or non-emergent line calls where dispatch explained to a member of our community that we would not be providing a service to them or the impaired animal. This is not only a failure of customer service, but it also wastes our 911 dispatchers' time and the city money when we should have our phone lines clear for police, fire, and medical emergencies. OCRA is an organization comprised of volunteers that will respond to, trap, and provide sufficient care and handling of these animals until transported to the appropriate care facility. OCRA is supported by and will be available 24/7 to Portland and Gresham Police, Multnomah County Sheriff's Office, as well as many other city organizations and all of our citizens. OCRA's main goal is to lessen the suffering of animals, decrease the amount of calls coming into the 911 center that could be going directly to an alternate resource, lessen the burden of non-crime-related animal calls on our law enforcement agencies, and improve customer service to our citizens in a time of need. The intent is also for okra to be utilized by Portland Bureau of Emergency Management and Portland NET teams during catastrophic events to help provide suitable shelter and care for displaced pets. Essentially, okra's mission is to save time and money for the city of Portland and our emergency responders, inspire community building and outreach, and help our less fortunate animal residents. I have no doubt that this program will be a great help to our citizens and our employees, and the $20,000 grant award from Portland Innovation Fund would be tremendously helpful in providing the proper equipment to our volunteers, as well as cover insurance policies and outreach materials. I've included some examples in your packets of dispatch call referrals, as well as incidents that we did create for a street response, which were inconclusive or were an unnecessary hindrance on our police officers. And I appreciate your time and consideration. Thank you.
So tell me exactly how this is going to work. The calls will still come to 911 or to non-emergency?
They will still come in the beginning. The idea is to spread the word about okra through outreach so that people will know they don't need to call dispatch, they don't need to call non-emergency. Eventually, they would call a phone number for okra directly. We're going to work with 211 on that. Perhaps we could just refer callers to 211 instead of having to waste the time on the phone and explain to them, you can call these people or these people. So in the beginning, we will be referring people to them instead of explaining to them that we can't do anything, essentially.
And are they already up and running? They're an existing organization?
No. This is it's a pilot program, so I have a list of volunteers. And I've been in meetings the last 6 to 9 months with our organizations, Oregon Humane Society, Dove Lewis, Multnomah County Animal Control, just trying to figure out how we can work best with them and if this would even be beneficial to all of those organizations as well. So we're still in the beginning. So we would need the money to have the insurance to cover our volunteers and give them the equipment in order to even start responding to calls.
So you're actually helping to create the organization, not just referring people to it.
Yes, ma'am.
Got it. Thank you. Yeah.
First, a question. Who did you bring with you today? Let's acknowledge
my
that.
Director of BOIC, Lisa Turley. Yes.
Okay. Lisa? And while Lisa's coming up to say something, I just want to acknowledge the great work at 911. This morning on the way to work, I observed a disabled truck at the western exit of the Hawthorne Bridge. And my first instinct was just to remind this guy he couldn't park his truck there. And then he told me that it had it was a disabled truck. Called 911. Within a second of putting the call through, someone answered and dispatched a tow truck. So nice
one. Glad to hear that. I'm Lisa Turley, the director of the Bureau of Emergency Communications. And all I have to say about this is what you are seeing and what you'll see in your packets is all Virginia's work. This is her brainchild. She has made every contact, every piece of work in this is hers, and it really it's an example of the innovation that we have at BOIC. They see a need, and they respond, and this is what they do all day, every day. So this is awesome. So we appreciate your support in this project.
Director Turley, thanks for being here to testify.
You bet.
Thank you both.
Thank you.
Virginia, I just have to say I'm always very proud to be your commissioner, but I'm particularly proud right now. I'm sure that actually, to Commissioner Fritz's question, I'm sure that now not only is it frustrating, but it takes time to explain to people there's really not anything I can do for you right now. I mean, it would take less time to say here's a number to call than to go through that discussion. And also, I just wanted to, there is an itemization of what the money would go for, and it is largely for materials for the volunteers, pagers, crates, heavy-duty animal handling gloves, things that will definitely be helpful in getting this organization started.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now I'd like to ask Eileen Argentina of Parks to come up, and Eileen's proposal is piloting youth music education.
Welcome.
Morning, commissioners. Thank you, Janet. My name is Eileen Argentina. I'm with Portland Parks and Recreation. And the proposal that was funded that I'm here to talk about is a proposal to pilot free music lessons at the Rosewood Initiative, which is a nonprofit community center out at 160th and Stark. And you may have heard about it. It was in the news this past weekend with a shooting that occurred within the facility. Jenny Glass out there is doing amazing work meeting the needs of the community. This particular proposal grew out of a desire to expand the program of the Community Music Center to underserved communities. As you probably know, the Community Music Center has been in operation for 60 years. They're located in inner southeast Portland, and they recognize that there is a large community beyond I-205 that they would like to serve and that would benefit from the services they provide. So I'm here today for Gregory Dubé, who's the director of CMC, I should say that. And Gregory and I went out and met with Jenny Glass at the Rosewood Initiative just to see what could happen. And out of that came this Innovation Fund proposal, which would furnish a soundproof room within the Rosewood Initiative, which if you've been out there, if you haven't been out there, it's a former big box store that is a very open, cavernous space, lots of things going on. And music lessons can't really be effectively delivered in that environment. So this would fund a soundproof room. These are available from a variety of vendors, can be set up virtually anywhere, semi-permanently, can be disassembled and moved if needed, fully self-contained with ventilation, lights, requiring only a level floor and 20-amp outlet. The proposal would also provide a year's worth of music lessons, nearly 3,000 lessons to be provided for youth in East Portland, would provide for the well-trained music instructors and offer instruments on loan to students who need them from CMC's collection. I want to also acknowledge that we have a partner, CMC Inc., that has been working with us for decades at Community Music Center, and their strategic plan that they developed really calls on a partnership for us to go out and reach underserved communities. So they'll be involved with this. Our goal is that after a year, we would be able to develop and expand the model with private foundation and individual donors to support the needs of the underserved area. We really are expecting that the Innovation Fund grant will provide a quick start to a pilot and allow us to make the case for long-term funding. Thank you.
Our final proposer is Elle Weatheroy with the Portland Police Bureau, and her proposal is Community Trainer Project.
Welcome.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Again, I'm Elle, and I'm really excited to be here to talk about the Community Trainer Project. This idea originated as a result of two processes. One internal process of identifying a need, doing a needs assessment, and recognizing that the training division wanted to enhance its information around Portland's history. An external side of that was a clear ask of the community, stating that they wanted to be involved in training their officers. And so based on these conversations and this information, we saw the sense of urgency, recognized that I would play a huge role in that, but knew in order to build this and to start this that we needed help. And that's where this fund kind of originated from. Quick side note, this is my second submission. So knew that this was a great idea. I think the committee, you know, felt like it was a great idea, but needed more detail. So worked with the committee members, got some coaching, and filled in those missing pieces, and voila, I'm here as one of their recommended funds. So I appreciated the process. Also had an opportunity to meet with Loretta Lynch when she was here a couple of weeks ago and briefly talked about this. She loved the idea, and her first question was, on the front end, how are you going to fund this? Good question. I got to talk about this great, you know, option we have of funding innovative, you know, ideas. So I'm really excited by this and getting a lot of support, a lot of potential here. Quick overview, there are three major components to this project. The first is that it will require a consultant coordinator, and you'll see that that's a bulk of this project. This is the person that's going to do the outreach, going to conduct focus groups to identify how this should look. This is the person that's going to coordinate the curriculum design and really work with me to build this piece. The second piece is community representatives, and this is bringing community members, sometimes folks who have never participated in this type of process, to the table and into our training process. And this is where they get to say, when you engage with our community, this is what we want you to know, right? These are the people you should meet. These are the businesses you should learn. And so as a result, our officers, before finishing the academy, will have relationships, have contacts, and stronger connection to the community. The final piece is that this project will help us build a community training pool of professional trainers to help us with delivering the curriculum, building the curriculum, this is definitely a win. And these will also be folks who are already certified with the City of Portland, right, which is exciting. They've already gone through this process, the procurement process, and so we have a pool of diverse community members able to train. And so our overall desired outcomes as a result of this is, one, stronger relationships and partnerships between our officers and the community. Also, this will build our pool of contracted community trainers, as I just said, but this not only benefits PPB, this benefits the City of Portland, as I constantly get questions like, who's working with you? Who's training your program? And that we have certified consultants of color who would be ready, and women who would be ready to work with our bureaus. And then finally, this will strengthen community partnerships and continue to build greater trust between our bureau and the community. So really excited by this, and thank you for the time to talk about it.
Really excited about your work in general as the equity manager for the Portland Police Bureau. I was especially interested to hear that the Attorney General of the United States, one of our first questions is, well, how are you going to pay for this?
That's right. That's,
all of us know that without the money, it's very difficult to get things done. Thank you.
To get it started. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you to all of our proposers, and can you answer any questions?
Looks like a splendid group of recommendations. Colleagues, any questions? Carla, did anyone sign up to testify?
I did not have a sign-up sheet for this.
Would anyone like to testify? Then without objection, this will be continued for a vote next week. Thank you.